Today on Real Radio.
The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And you know, when you start loving on somebody, first of all, they start getting real upset because they're not getting to you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called What Christians Believe. Now, we're in the final lesson of this series, and it's called What Christians Believe About Love. We hear that word a lot, don't we? Jesus loves you, God is love, I love you, let's all love one another. Yet in the English language, love is not always a very accurate term. We find it all over the place in English translations of the Bible, but in the original languages of Scripture, the different words for love are far more accurate and categorical, if you will. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now wrapping up his lesson called What Christians Believe About Love.
Sometimes we can be so hypocritical in our prayers. You know, like Susie's driving us up the wall, and she's that believer that's in our lives that must be sent from God or from Satan. We can't figure out who they've come from. They're our irregular person. Lord, why don't you just take them away? And you can hear a distant voice saying, I've brought them into your life that you might cry out to me, that you might love them with my love. Lord, take them away. You know, no. And so we pray prayers like this. Lord, you know that I don't love Susie as much as I ought to. And the Lord says, now just stop right there. The truth is, you don't like her at all. The truth is, you're masking over your true feelings within your heart. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to pull out a chainsaw right now. I'm going to cut that part out of your heart. I'm going to clean that part up. Because until you come to me and you say, Lord, the truth is, I don't like that person whatsoever. And I need your help. Because when I hear their name, or when I see them walk down the street, my jaw sets. And I know, God, this is not from you. It is wrong of me, Lord. I repent of it. I just don't have the power to change it. Lord, I ask you the love that you love me with. Will you give me that love for them? Because I don't have it. And I'm not going to veil my hypocritical prayer anymore. Lord, help me to love my enemy. What do Christians believe? Isn't it interesting that the non-believers in the world, they may have a lot of words for us and about us, and some of them accurate. But isn't it interesting that what the Roman government accused the first century church of is still true in most parts of the world today? Is that, you know what, we don't like Christians. We don't like them. But you know what? They sure do love. What a great indictment. There used to be a song that Brian Duncan used to sing. And that song, the words of that song was, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would you have or would they have enough evidence to convict you? What a great word. Love. And this is something that we can't take lightly. We can say, well, you know, yeah, okay, I need to love more. The truth is, Lord, you've got to live your love out in our lives. So in your mind, don't jump up and don't say anything, but in your mind, in your mind's eye, is there someone or are there people in your mind that you would think or say something like this? It would just be fine with me if I never ever saw them again. Well, I'm so glad they live in New York and me in California, because the distance has nothing to do with it. Lord, you've got to work this love of yours in my heart. Now, pause right there. A stubborn person like me would say, I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm not going to give them the satisfaction. But somebody with good ears like you would hear the Lord say, now, now, listen. It has everything to do with you and me, not so much with you and them. Because if you get that situation, if we clean up that little room of your life and we get it dusted and vacuumed and cleaned up, you'll be able to hear me a lot better and we'll be able to communicate a lot better together, you and I, the Lord would say. Now, this doesn't mean, church, in all practicality, that you get on an airplane and fly to New York and throw your arms around that person that just drives you nuts. But it could translate into something like, hey, Fred, thought about you this week. Hope all is well with you. Jack. You know? Something. God might call you to do that. Well, I just can't do that. My friend, for your own growth, for your own walk with the Lord, do that thing. Yeah, but then I'll look weak. Then you go into the man mode. And that's not a good place to be. When we begin to build up a wall and say, you know what? Yes to all these things and no to that person right there and or that group of people or that thing. Watch out. The Lord wants to get control in that area of our lives. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Tremendous. So what do Christians believe? We believe that in our relationship, love should be paramount. That when we meet one another, did you turn and greet one another a little earlier? Honestly, did you just turn and greet the same people you greet every Wednesday night? Did you meet something new? Should scramble things up a little bit. Be quite a thing if we turn and say, hi, what is your name? Nice to meet you. And as an agreement as a church among one another to choose, to decide, I'm going to love this person. Now, I know we can think that way, but what does it translate out to? What does it look like? And so for now, maybe this is where we can think real personal. What does it look like to love somebody? Can someone give me a word or a small definition? What does it look like for a Christian to love someone? Anyone? A smile, a greeting? Isn't that interesting? A smile or a greeting. So what? We have a ministry of greeters at the door. Prerequisite. Can you smile? Listen, with what Matt just said, people coming through these doors, especially on Sundays, so many people coming through the doors. You know, there's enough people here that if we just decided to smile at a stranger, listen, if we just decided next Sunday to smile at a stranger, it will freak them out. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying, what if we did it more? Did I share with you this, or am I going crazy? Probably, maybe both. But a week or so ago, someone was, we were eating fish tacos at the Rubio's. And it's packed, and honestly, most of the church was in the building except for about four people, I figured. I mean, everybody else in there was there from the church. And all of this, hey, how you doing? Good, how you doing? Oh, how you doing? Hey, all right. You know, and it's just like crazy. It's like we're all in each other's living room. It was fun. And the table right next to us, there were four women sitting there, and this one lady said, I'm still looking for a church. I just haven't found a church. And this one lady said, because I'm snooping in on this conversation, this one lady said, well, have you tried such and such a church? Yeah, you know, I didn't like it. Oh. Her other friend, did you go to this other church? No, I haven't been there yet. Maybe I'll try that one out. So I'm thinking, hey, I know a church. But she said, one of her friends asked her, Well, have you tried that church along the freeway, that big white church that has no name on it, along the freeway? We got to get a name, a sign out there. But anyway, she said, oh, no, nope, it's too big. Nobody would know that I'm there. And my mind said, wait. My feet were like, I mean, I wanted to run right over and say, that's not true. You should give those people a try. You should give it a crack. You got to go over there. I mean, they'll scoop you up. They'll love you up. You got to go, man. You got to check it out. Don't. And then I'm thinking, you know what? If she says, well, who are you? I mean, if I say, well, I'm the pastor, then she's gonna think, well, you're some, you know, you're just selling the church on me, you know, kind of. And I wound up not saying anything, but man, I was just so itchy to say something. But you know what? I don't know her. She doesn't know me. But she's looking for love and acceptance. Her fear was nobody would greet me. And Matt just said, smile, a greeting. Every one of us in here can do that and show the love of God. What's another thing? A hug, be a servant. Be a servant. Unconditional. Keep going. Grace. Compassion. Reach out and shake somebody's hand. Fellowship. Forgiveness. Sacrifice. That was weird. Both of you say it at the same time? That was pretty neat. We couldn't have orchestrated that one. Anybody in the back sitting in the shadows hiding out back there? What? Freedom? Feed them. Christians, we do the best potlucks. It's true. There's no doubt about it. Anyone else? Unity, patience, prayer, or pray for them, prayer.
Be nice in the parking
lot. Now, why would you say that, Randy? Be nice in the parking lot. Do not run over the men and women with this reflective. We go home tonight. What if somebody leaves before we do, and they go and they're driving home, and they happen to they have the Jesus said, come after me, sticker on the back of their car, or the sun and the cross. I'm telling you, you ought to get those stickers. I could save you a towing bill. Because if your car's broken down, someone's going to pull over and say, hey, do you go to Calvary? You need a lift? You know? Plus, you know this. You guys know this. Those of you who are maybe new, maybe you don't know this. You go to the church office and you get the sticker and you put it on the back of your car because the agreement is, right? If anyone around town sees a sticker on your car or your moped or your Vespa or whatever it is, what are you supposed to do for that person?
Pray.
Free prayer. Get the sticker, slap it on your car, and get prayed for as you drive all around town. I think that's a great thing. You guys have named a bunch of great things. Anything?
Be
sincere, be real. Now, you know what? He said, be real, be sincere. People are afraid to be real and sincere. You want to know why? They don't think they're going to be accepted if they be who they are. In all of the universe, I guess you can be afraid of that, except within a church. Why can't we be sincere and vulnerable in a church? The only reason why we could not be able to do that is because too much of the world has crept into the church, and the church treats people who are transparent and open just like the world consumes people like that. That was an awesome thing that Bob just said. Because if we can't be real, then we are truly playing a horrible game. But it's expensive, what Bob was saying. It's expensive. Because listen, there are people, even in Christianity, that have perceptions. It's in human nature. We begin to look at someone and we classify them. It's true. Don't say you don't. You do. Every human does it. It may be absolutely wrong, but we do it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, she's this or that. Oh, he's this or that. And we don't even know. We never even spoken to them. We begin to form. That's why the Bible says, do not judge according to appearance. So why am I bringing this up? Well, you know, we have, and we used to have a ministry called Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. And now we're bringing it back, but it's called, what's it called, somebody?
Look.
Is it called Look?
Yeah.
Look Who's Coming to Dinner? Like, look. Who's coming? And it's a lot of fun. It's great fun. Truly is. But the thing is, you know what? When, you know, you get, it's all in a hat and names. At least that's how they used to do it. We used to pull names out of a hat and go get an address. And they know you're coming. They know somebody's coming. You don't know who. And it's interesting because you really find out what a church pulse is like. Because if you want me to come to your house wearing a robe, you know, and, you know, that ain't going to work. If you have, you know, so many times we've gone to a home to have dinner at someone's house or whatever, and the dog is out in the backyard looking through like this. They're look. Why am I outside? And you, it's one of the things I do. I walk in, I see, and the dog's just like, I am whoever you are. I don't like you because I have to live outside. And I'll say, hey, is your dog okay? Yeah, he just usually is indoors. Bring him on in. Are you sure? Yeah. Or if they have a baby, or like if they have the dog and I start playing with them, some people like, you know, well, wait a minute. You're our pastor and you're playing with the dog. What do you want me to do? Well, I know that most people play with dogs, but I don't play with dogs. No, I play with dogs. Whatever it might be. With what Bob brought up about being transparent or whatever, being vulnerable, listen, in my opinion, if you can't be who you are, remember, Jesus Christ died for your sins, not your personality. There's a big difference. Okay, are you real quiet? Then praise God, to His glory, you were made quiet. It's not a sin. Are you just crazy and outgoing and whatever? Praise the Lord, He made you that way. He didn't go up on the cross and say, no, you know, I'm going to die for all of the melancholy people. He died on the cross for our sins. Your personality is yours. It's not a sin, it's who you are. And I think He loves it. He loves the variety of it all. But the thing is, if we're going to be a church, if we're going to love because God is love, I know Bob who brought that up. He's got an incredible voice. He's passionate about what he believes. He's a big-hearted man. He's a big guy with a big heart. And I'd go to battle with him anywhere because I know that he loves the Lord. I see Skip. He's soft-spoken. He's gentle. Loves the Lord. I'd go to battle with him anytime, anywhere in the world, anybody. There's people around here. Some are tall, some are short, some are whatever, quiet, big, loud, soft. Doesn't matter. You understand that? But if we as a church, it's so cool, because if we just let ourselves be who God created us to be, because He's dealt with the sin issue, then we can be people that stops trying to impress one another, trying to get people to think that we're somebody we're not. And then when they find out who you are, they want anything to do with you. Not because they didn't like what they were getting to know, but you deceived them. Think about it. If you and I cannot talk like this together, then what are we doing, you know? Now, for some of you who might be visiting tonight, this, I told you, this is the last thing in a series before we start the book of Proverbs, and it was going to be an intimate kind of a family thing tonight because we're talking about love. You might say, look, this is just a little too personal for me. Well, you know, don't worry. Sunday we'll go back to more formality and you'll feel fine. But the truth of the matter is, if Jesus was here right now, you know who'd be sitting next to? Anybody have an idea who he'd be sitting next to? That's right. He'd be sitting next to you. Well, how would he do that? I don't know, but he'd do it. I don't know how he does what he does, but he does it. And so people as a church, what Christians believe, the world wants to know. And getting ready to come here tonight, I had Fox News on. I was watching Bill O'Reilly. And they were talking about abortion and right to life and all these things. And they were talking about this reverend and that bishop and that pastor and this and that and everything. And I'm just thinking, you know, all this stuff they're talking about, these big battles about this issue and about that issue. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. You know, when you start loving on somebody, they start getting real upset because they're not getting to you. And then they get a little angry because love begins to prevail. It always does. It always prevails. Even if it takes the Christian's life and martyrdom, his love will prevail long after he's gone. It's embossed in the minds of those murderers who were there even. It happened with Stephen regarding Paul's life. And when love is happening, people begin to fight and push, and then they wind up giving up. If you want to just war against somebody without ever having a resolve, then just dig your heels in and just hone and sharpen that nasty tongue of yours. And you'll die an old, bitter woman or an old, bitter man. You want to win. You let the Lord love people through you. And when somebody comes next to you and you don't like them, you say, Lord, I don't like them. I need you to help me here now because I don't like them. I need to love them. And you watch what God does in your life. He begins to change your heart. And you're the one that's set free. You're liberated. You grow. And there's nothing like it in all the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a study called What Christians Believe About Love. This is actually the final lesson in Pastor Jack's series called What Christians Believe. On tomorrow's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new verse-by-verse study through 1 Corinthians. It's going to be a great series, so please be sure to join us. Now, as you know, we're getting closer and closer to this upcoming election. And of course, the overall question is, how do I vote and why? Well, one issue to watch very, very closely, and we recently dealt with it right here on Real Radio, is the candidate's views on Israel. Just how important is the Jewish state? How important is the peace of Israel? What future role does Israel play in Bible prophecy? And, as far as our own political leaders, why are these issues important to us here in America? Well, this is precisely why we at Real Radio are offering Pastor Jack's DVD called Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters. Now, this is, of course, a time-sensitive matter as the election gets closer and closer every day. And that's why we at Real Radio are offering it to you for your gift of any amount in support of this broadcast outreach, Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real simple. You'll know right where to point and click, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.